This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord Jesus, we want to invite you this morning. We want to invite you into this house. We want to declare this morning that this is your house, Lord. We submit to your authority. And that the pain and the sorrow are all washed away. But Lord, that sometimes seems so difficult. But Lord, we just wanna bring to remembrance what you've gone through. We want to honor you this morning, Lord. We want to give you praise. We want to ask you, Lord, that you open our hearts, that you open our ears and open our eyes, Lord God. Our hearts to receive your message, Lord God. Our ears to hear it, Lord God. And our eyes to see it. Father, may you be exalted this morning through our actions. So the way we walk, the way we talk, Lord God. Even if it's just in a small conversation to one another. We just pray, Lord God, that you will be exalted in that. For you are worthy, Lord. When we prayed this morning, I felt in my heart 2-3 words. Our first one is, I sense God, just leave the lights off for me, thank you. I just sense God saying that there's somebody here this morning. You've gone through a hard time. You've sort of given up, in a sense, all hope, and you've said that this one time, you're going to come to church today, you're going to sit here, you're going to be here, but you need to hear from God. And I just sense this morning, when I heard this, that God's saying to you that I love you. He's a personal God and he's inviting you. He's telling you that you came to the right place and that he loves you unconditionally. And the second one, I saw a blank canvas and all of a sudden somebody started painting three mountains. One is a green one is sort of a yellow one in the middle, and the other one is a dark black one. And as if everyone wants to choose the green one, but God's saying no. Because that green one is one where all the snakes and the enemies can hide underneath the trees. God says that if you go into that woods, into that mountain, you will use the trees and the comfort of the shade and not depend on him. The yellow mountain is sort of this halfway in between. There's some leaves left because it's in between seasons, and the other one is, but you're in that place if you can see a little bit, but you're still using the shade and the comfort of the trees. And then the last one is this black mountain. Nobody wants to go on it because it's clean. There's nothing. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere. The sun will get to you. But God is saying that's exactly where I want you, because then your dependence is not on that which is around you, but it's on me. And if you are in that decision this morning, if you are in that place this morning where you need to make that decision, God is telling you in advance what you can expect. And then I just felt this morning that if you're going through a difficult time, if things in your life is difficult, but you've not shared it with someone, you don't want to share it this morning. We're not going into details, but I want you to be bold and stand up this morning. I want you to stand right there where you are, because we want to, as a church, pray together. We want to pray for your needs. We don't need to know what it is. We don't need to know what it's about. But God is the revealer this morning. God is the one that brings the comfort. God is the one that will come and wash the pain and the sorrows away. If you're in a difficult spot, I want you to remain standing, and that those around us, if you see somebody standing, I just want you to extend your hand to them. Go and put your hand on their shoulder. And we're going to take 2 minutes and we're going to pray for them. Just allow God to minister to you so that you can speak into their lives. Sometimes we need to be bold enough to stand up and say, Lord, I need your help. It's not about what people think. It's not about what people see. It's about who God is. Allow the Holy Spirit to come this morning and minister to you. So if you are standing next to one, if you're sitting down, you see somebody standing and there's no hand laid on them, I want you to go to them, please. Just lay your hand on them and pray for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we do not know the concerns and the troubles that people are going through this morning. But Lord, we want to bring every pain and every sorrow, every challenge, every decision before you this morning. We want to place it in your hands, Lord God. We want to ask for your comfort this morning. We want to ask for your guidance, your wisdom, Lord Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, to touch upon the hearts of these of us that are standing. And Father, those that are sitting down and sitting with the same challenges, Lord God, we pray that each one of us will receive your hand this morning upon their shoulders. We'll receive the comfort, Lord God, of your love in their hearts this morning. A love that surpasses all understanding, knowing that we are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We deny the self this morning, Lord God, and we hold on to you, the righteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, band. Thank you, everyone. Just take a seat, and we're going to thank you too. I'm going to ask that we, Auntie Doris, you can leave the doors closed for me just for another minute or two. I just want to do a quick example and setting before we start. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to all the new visitors and those that have traveled from afar and traveled safely and reunited with their loved ones. So we are very glad that you are here. Those who are here for the first time, you are spoiling us this morning with your presence and your love. And thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. I want to do an illustration this morning. And you've got to bear with me. A couple of props that we need to set up. And don't worry, I've got matches, but there won't be any explosions. Hopefully later on, we can allow God to do that. But I just want us to close the back doors completely. Don't worry, I'm not shutting you in and not letting you out. And then we're going to... I just want to see if we can close this. Yes. All right. And then let's get off all the lights. Okay. So in a sense, and then if you can black the screen at the back for me as well, please. There's a little option in the right-hand corner that says, thank you. All right, so everybody agrees this morning it's quite difficult to see. You with me? Eh? Yes, no, because I can't see you. So I can't see you nod. Now you've got to express it in words for me, please. Okay, great. So nobody, you can see some a little bit, eh? Okay, so I light up a candle, hopefully without burning myself and allowing this candle to move or to start burning. So if we refocus what we see here this morning, We can see a candle, but it's going to take many of us to step out and be around this candle for us to see. You agree with me? All right. So, agreeing with me, you're saying that the light that we see here is only sufficient for a lit, for a few people that is close enough to see it. Yeah. Okay. So I'll be closing it up. But the moment that I do this, exponentially there's a lot more people in our sphere that can see something here. Agree? Okay. So if I switch this off and I say, okay, let's put on the light at the back there. So now we're going to go all out. We can all see. So for the experiment, for you guys to grasp and understand it, now we can open the doors, we can do unblack the screen and everything. Let's say we are 55 people here this morning. And one person equals 100-watt light bulb. 1 watt light bulb equals 16 candles. And I've asked Dr. Google to help me with this, so if I'm wrong, please do not see this as the end of the world. This is not scripture. It's just an illustration this morning. So if each of us were a 100-watt light bulb, and we are, or let's say we have 100-watt light bulb here, we need about 1,600 candles to get the equivalent amount of light in this place. If we are 55, it's roughly about 88,000 candles that we need to light up the place in a similar fashion. So the question this morning is information or transformation. So we're going to speak about lights in the world. And I wanted you to see the illustration this morning so that you can, that you are with me and continue to think about this illustration, about the effects of our, of various lights and where we are in our lives as a shining light to the world. You see, God remained the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is described as the radiant glory that upholds the universe by the word of his power. Okay, so that's not comparable with a 100-watt light bulb. That's a radiant glory that upholds the universe by mere word of his power. There's nothing to compare with that. But for us to grasp that illustration, in the sense of what we have access to, of what God placed in our hearts when he says that I want to make you my dwelling place, is that we need to understand what power through God we have and how we need to shine. So your decision this morning is to take the information, and you can make it and let it remain information upon what we've said in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks about certain teachings. Or you can bring it to transformation in your life by applying the power of the word to a more powerful source and being the light in people's, in between people's lives and not to them all the time. You see, when Christ becomes our Savior, he comes and he dwells within us. His Spirit dwells within us. Now, each of us is a light bulb. But if this light bulb is not plugged into the energy source, it's going to remain a light bulb. It's going to remain just information. If we receive it, but we do not plug into the Spirit, we do not allow the Spirit to feed us with that energy, it remains nothing. It's an action for me to light the candle. It's an action for me to switch on the... It remains an action and a choice for me to step into that place of saying, Holy Spirit, light me up. Not like a little Christmas tree, but to a light that shines in between people. And if we think of a ratio of 1 to 16, and we take the exponential power of Christ within us, then we need to understand that the 1 to 16 is very reserved. We are not a 1-watt little light bulb, but we are more like a 1,000,000-watt light bulb because of God's radiant glory through His Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. So think of these two things, information or transformation, because that will be the key in what you hear today. So the last 3 weeks, or 3 weeks back, I spoke about walking worthy of the gospel. And we took it from Philippians 1, and you can open your Bibles there, and you can go with me through it. And I would just want to go through two or three key things in preparing you for how Paul prepared the Philippians when he wrote to them. So the Philippian church started with Paul receiving a vision from a man in Macedonia that he needs to come and help them. Paul and Silas, that was directly very, very shortly after Paul and Barnabas separated their ways. Paul took Silas, and when he saw this vision, he ran to Macedonia, and Macedonia was delivered, is divided up into four parts, and one of them is Philippi. And in the church, or the Philippian, Philippi is a Roman colony, so anything goes as a matter of fact. And Paul went obediently to this city. He was quieted by the Holy Spirit. He was permitted not to speak in certain areas. And he was only allowed to speak in Philippi. Because what happened in Philippi? When they got there, they went outside the gates, outside the walls. And there was a group of women that sat there and prayed together. And God came, and in Acts 16, he says, and he opened the heart of this one woman, Lydia, to receive the message that Paul will bring. See how key that is. So Lydia received the message. She was a wealthy woman. She was also a spiritual seeker, spirit seeker. She was looking for God. But they were Jewish women, so they knew only God. And then Paul comes with this message of the gospel of new life in Christ. And this woman says, I want to be that woman. I want to be that person that accepts Christ. So she accepts Christ. Her household accepts Christ. She gets baptized. And one of her servants also gets baptized. So that's the first start of the church. Then, as Paul and Silas are walking through Philippi, this one woman comes up and she's like, This is a people from God. These people know Jesus Christ. They know this, they know the Messiah. They know. So this woman started making a lot of noise. But it's because she had two men behind her that were fortune seekers, and they sort of encouraged her to start saying these because they would use it as fortune telling and make money out of her. And all of a sudden, Paul got irritated, and he's like, no, stop right there. You unclean spirit, or the spirit that's in you, I'm very paraphrasing now, get out. All of a sudden, this woman doesn't know anything anymore. These two men are angry because their source of income is now cut off. And they take Paul and Silas to the council. And they get thrown in jail. At midnight, around midnight, Paul and Silas starts to worship and pray in jail. Now remember, it's not our jail like we have here. Those are underground dungeons. They were placed underground, no lights, no nothing. I don't think there was proper air ventilation as well. It was a stink hole. And they were thrown in this jail, and in the midst of this, not knowing what's going to happen to them, but having their faith in God, knowing who Christ in their life is, they started worshiping and praising God and praying to Him. And all of a sudden, the earth shook and the gates of the jail, of all the jail cells opened. Next moment, the jailer comes in, he takes his knife and he wanna kill himself. And Paul shouts, "Stop. Do not do it. We are all still in our cells," because he thought, "Well, I can't live with this. If they all escape, I'm in trouble." And the jailer ran to Paul and Silas and he bowed. He said, "What must I do to get saved?" And immediately he gave his life to Christ then. And he became part of the church. And that is the amazingness of how the church of Philippi started. So you could see that this comes from pureness in heart, where God basically touched them. He opened their eyes and they are in it. So it's not, and that's why when Paul writes this letter, he writes it from a theme of joy and encouragement. He sees the wildness of and how faithful and obedient the Philippi church is. And then he writes to them in the first chapter and he says, "Listen, guys, if you want to be worthy of walking with the, if walking worthy of the gospel is the following." And out of that, I identified 7 points that I want you to just go through with me again. Because this is absolute foundation to what we see today. And what we're going to hear today. So first one, walking worthy, encourages them and says, being a servant, walking worthy is being a servant of Christ and in Christ. Philippians 1 verse 1. As Paul describes himself and the church as being a servant in Christ. And the second thing is this being in partnership. The jailer, Lydia, the servant, other members of the church didn't function on their own. They were in relationship with one another in the body of Christ. They came together. They were in one mind, one accord, one love, the same love. Philippians 1 verse 5. Walking worthy requires us to walk in faith. We need to understand what God did for us. We need to believe in what we believe in, or what God revealed to us. And their faith came through what Lydia received when God opened her heart. It requires a choice for Christ no matter the circumstances. We need to understand that the Philippian church lived in a very difficult situation, a difficult time. With the Roman colony, with if you spoke about Christ boldly outside, you were thrown in jail. You were set up for execution. But it requires a choice, no matter the circumstances. It requires us to be content in the person who Christ Jesus is. If I made a choice for Him, I need to also understand who Christ is. And being content in that person allows me to say that to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is Christ. Meaning, if I stand here today, I have an opportunity to present Christ to the world. To show Christ to the world through the way I live. And if I die, it's gain. Because then I'm with Christ. In the place that He built up for me. That He's busy preparing for me. Living your salvation in Christ. Our salvation is free from bondage. John 8 verse 36 says that If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. If we receive our salvation and we live our salvation, we live as free people in the world. Free from bondage. And then the last one is suffering with joy for the faith we have in Christ. This suffering with joy is a gift that God gave to us. Suffering with Him, being joyful about it for the faith that we have in Christ. And then using that as a starting point, he goes on to the next point. He says, okay, but listen, let me show you where I got this from. Because I didn't just think about it. I didn't just make up something and then I want you to follow it. This was revelation to me about who Christ is in my life. So let's look at the example that Christ set before us. And he says, on the example of Christ's humility for us is the following. He says the number one point to walk in humility and in humiliation for Christ and with Christ and what Christ already did was relationship with and through Christ to one another. Christ had the same love, the same sympathy, affection, participation, and the same mind as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He came to demonstrate that to us. And us, we as a church, he brings that to reflection to say in Philippians 2 verse 1 and 2, he says, think about this, that if these, because these are realities in Christ, if they are not there, I want you to continuously think about them. How do you apply them in your everyday life? And are they evident? Is there the same love between one another? Is there sympathy, affection, participation? Are you in the same mind, Philippi? Because remember, he's writing to the church of Philippi, so he's reminding them of that. And then secondly, he says that if you have this relationship, the next thing that will sprout forth from that is you will count others more significant than yourself. But what did Christ do? He counted us more significant than himself. And he came and he laid the foundation of dying on the cross for us. He says, I paid the ultimate price for you so that you can be free. He says, look not only to your own interest, but to those who are around you. And then emptying ourselves from our status and our privilege. God gave up the right as king to take on the form of a human being, to be crucified, emptying everything, every privilege that he had of himself, emptying that and giving it to us. Serving our needs, choosing us, serving those around him. And then the fourth one is being obedient to the call of Christ. You see, Christ knew what he had to come and do. And even in his last hours, he says, my Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass me. But your will be done. He knew what the will of God was. And thank you, Arne, for sharing that this morning as well. You know, reading on what is the will of God for our lives. We need to be obedient to the calling that Christ has in our life. We cannot be just this one person, one man band, thinking that I'm only called for one specific thing in life. The example that Christ set is being obedient. Humiliation in Christ and for Christ leads to exaltation with the Father. Christ endured the humiliation of being put on the cross. The cross wasn't just a normal thing. It wasn't just an easy, mediocre death. It was the ultimate form of humiliation in the Roman times. When you are put on the cross, you're placed on the cross, you basically set up for it to be an outcast. You are set there to say, listen, this is an outcast in the world. He's not worthy. But humbling or humiliating ourselves for the sake of Christ, out of the love for Christ, demonstrates that we truly seek the divine nature of God And God will reward us for that. And do not think that the reward is in the material things that we have in our lives. It's about the eternal life, the eternal gift of eternal life with Christ, the place that He's currently preparing for us. So what we see is there's four S's of discipleship also that Paul conveys to the Philippian church. He says to them, he shows them, he supports them, and he sends them. He tells them how to walk worthy. He showed them when he was there how to walk worthy. He supported them by writing to them the letters. And then he sent them. Timothy, Epaphroditus, all servants that could continue the good work that has been done there. And that's the reason why I used the illustration this morning. The illustration of saying that we can remain the information of just being one candle and we make our difference in the world where we are. And then, or we can be a light bulb and have a greater influence because of Christ in our lives. At some or other way, in time in our lives, the candle is going to burn out. But the radiant glory of Jesus Christ in our lives will never burn out, because He's an everlasting source of life, of power, of divineness that we have here. So in 1 Philippians 2, verse 12 to 18, that's after this amazing revelation and an example of what Christ is. Paul continues to exhort the Philippian church, saying to you, listen, what now it comes to the action part. You can't just hear what I said. You can't just take in the information. You can't just see, okay, I've seen it once or twice. Yes, now it's good. You've got to make something of it. You've got to be a light in the world. And also notice that if you read that in your word, it says light in the world. It's not light to the world. We are not a spotlight. Because people see us sometimes as Christians, and we are a spotlight. We just zoom in on one particular person or one particular group of people, and we try to expose everything in their lives to say, hey. But here Paul uses the word to be a light in the world, which means we are part. We are not from the world, but we are in the world. And we need to shine, not as a candle, a little candle, but we need to have the power of Christ within us. Use the information that Christ gave us to bring transformation in our lives. So continue to think about that. And then we're going to read Philippians 2, verse 12 to 18. And you've got your Bibles with you, I hope, and notebooks and everything. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, not to the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Very straightforward little piece of scripture that he gives here. But again, it's easy for you and me to stand here today, to sit here today, And then we are in this comfortable place of being Christians, of being believers in the same place, the same mind, the same attitude. We are all here for the same thing this morning, is to honor Christ in our lives. It's comfortable. And it brings a sense of security for us, because we don't have to do too much. But now, all of a sudden, Paul is away from them. Paul is not there anymore. He's in jail in Rome, waiting on execution. And what does he still see in the Philippi church? Because he gets Timothy, he gets Epaphroditus, he gets one or two other people to come and give him information about the church in Philippi. And he receives this overwhelming and great response from them, because they did not just sit back the moment that Paul left, even though it was difficult for them. They did not sit back and say, oh, you know what, we don't have a leader anymore. We don't have a Paul in our midst anymore. So we're just going to sit back and let this thing go on. You see, Paul's presence in their life brought a great boldness. It allowed them to be out of the box. They grew in faith of the teachings that Paul gave them. And it was through Paul's life that they received an example as well. Because Paul imitated Christ. And he writes to the Corinthians and he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So Paul lived this life as an example. And he writes from this place of encouragement to say, hey, persevere with your relationship with Christ. So our challenge remains in the first two verses that we read, is that because of our circumstances, we have to go back from this Sunday, we have to go back into the world, we have to go face the workplace, we have to face the people and the areas of our lives where half the people aren't Christian, aren't believers in Christ. They are from different denominations, so we see different things, we hear different things. And now we have to go back, and we have to be a light in the world. But we need to decide, how do we get that light? Because today, for instance, is this demonstration to you that the light is plugged in. I've showed you how it works. But now you've got to take this light bulb yourself. You've got to go out there. You've got to plug it into the light source, which is Jesus Christ. And you've got to shine in the world. But that takes boldness. That takes a different, a more difficult stance, because you've got opposition. Everybody's fighting for a place. Everybody's fighting their own rights and their human rights. But before I get sidetracked, they have obeyed when Paul spoke to them. And then Paul encourages them to continue. And when we read that first verse, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, because he's not there, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wow. The moment we read this, work out your own salvation, we think, oh, goodness, Paul, you've left us in our own thing here. So what are we experiencing? We need to work out our own salvation. But working out is a continual training that Paul encourages them with. He says, continually train in your relationship with Christ. He's not saying, I've left you alone now you've got to figure it out. God is high above you all. Now you've got to figure out the way how to get to Christ. No. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to train in your relationship with Christ. Continually nurture what we have initially received with God. But here's the thing. We are not alone. Because Christ, or God, is working in us. He says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God knows what He wants for your life. He wants to bring that to good pleasure. He wants to bring you to that place. Goodness. We're going to get you sorted this morning. See, the work here that he speaks about is not physical labor. It's not the things that we do. But it is our salvation in Christ. It's experiencing all the aspects and blessing of our salvation. Our relationship with Him. And Paul goes on, he actually, in the next chapter, which we're going to do in 2 weeks from now, Philippians 3, where he speaks about the righteousness through faith in Christ, he rejects the works, that our works cannot save us. He rejects this principle. He says, no. It's not by the works that you will be saved, but it's by your faith in Christ that you will be saved. We are not righteous. You and I, we are not righteous. But through Christ, we become righteous before God. We need to understand again that the power of the light bulb is only there. The light only shines when it's plugged into the power source, which is Jesus Christ. When it's plugged into the electricity. But the thing is, electricity is dangerous. If we misuse it, it can backfire on us. It can hurt us. But that is what Paul writes. He says, fear and trembling is not thinking that we are not good enough to be in front of Christ. He says, with fear and trembling, knowing that your fear of God, the trembling of the mightiness of God, who God is, should excel you to work out the salvation with Him, to work on this relationship with Him. Because you need to demonstrate to the world that without that power, without the God in my life, I am nothing, I'm not shining. But with God, being plugged into that energy source, I can be a light to the world. And that brings the first point of being a light in the world is working out, being switched on. You know, reading the Bible, reading your Bible, praying daily, being in conversation, in relationship with God. Because when we speak with God, it's not just about prayer, Lord, what can I, it's not about what you can get out. It's about who God is in your life. Showing the result that God does in us through our choices and actions. And then he goes on to the second part. We're going to I've divided it up into four pieces this morning. So the first one is working out, you know, being switched on. You need to be connected. You need to go to the gym to pump some iron and have big muscles. You know, like Frederick, he's got big muscles and legs of steel. But you've got to train them. I can't just think by myself, listen, if I just do it out of my own power, I'm not going to get there. If I don't train, I'm not going to, if I want to ride the dash at the end of the year, I'm not going to do it if I don't get on the bike. But he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, here's the thing. If we are not in the same mind as Christ is, if we are not in the same, we do not experience, we do not receive the same love for one another, we are not in the same mind, it's easy for us to grumble and dispute. If we do not build on our relationship with Christ, it's easy for us to grumble and dispute. You know, it was evident in the lives of the Philippians, the Colossians, the Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, in that whole era, and it actually started in Exodus with Deuteronomy 32, where Paul speaks about the twisted and crooked generation. It actually comes already from there. So you can see how far back it goes. And then after Christ, it's a continuous process. We live in a crooked and twisted world. So we need to be the difference to the world. But we cannot do it on our own. We need to have Christ with us. Now, if we continue to grumble and dispute, we actually pull away from our relationship with Christ. Because we consume ourselves with the negativity of the grumbling and the dispute. We see so many wrongs around ourselves that we forget who Christ is. We forget the beauty of His nature. We forget the uniqueness of what He brings to my life and why He is in my life. You see, people love being angry, and this crooked and twisted generation, they proclaim their own human rights all the time. I have a right to this and I have a right to that. It's my right to love whom I will. It's my right to marry another man or marry another woman. It's my right. I justify things. And then when people tell me it's wrong, I say, but God loves me. I use the excuse of God loves me so He will understand. Why would a loving and just God condemn me to eternal hell? And my apologies if I don't sugarcoat it. Because God is clear, we need to understand who He is. He is a righteous God. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, none of us would have the opportunity to be here. The Philippians experienced in this Roman colony the same thing, that if they spoke out, the immediate thing was jail and death. But amidst all these, amidst all the trial and tribulation, what did they understand about themselves? They were children of God. And when I am a child of God, I have a certain right. And it's a right that God gave me when He said, I give you the right to become children of God. So when I accept it, I live with the responsibility, the privileges, safety, and security of being a child in the Father's house. And the moment I step out of that, I let go of those privileges. Then I'm not under that covering anymore. But you see, we sometimes bring self-salvation into our vocabulary. And a simple illustration is self-salvation is Adam and Eve knew they made a mistake. So they took a fig leaf and they made a patchy to cover up. And they said, we are okay. Because God won't see us. We're going to hide. God won't see us. And evidently what they did was they brought in self-salvation to themselves. If we are a child of God, we are saved by Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Not the I. The example of Christ is emptying ourselves. Let Christ fill me and the Holy Spirit. So we need to be the light in the world for people to truly see Christ in us and not ourselves and our self-justification, our self-ambitions, our self all the time. You need to start denying that if you haven't done it before. Say, it's not about me, but it's about Christ. So the second point this morning is living as children of God. Blameless and innocent. But that's so difficult to do. But by the grace of God, we are able to do it. The grace, the power that He gives within us, if we connect to the power source of Jesus Christ, we are able to do this. Because blameless and innocent, in a sense, saying that Christ covers that, our sinful nature. He's already done that on the cross. In our own self, we cannot do that. But through Christ, we can. Letting people know who our Father is by the way of life. See, when we speak about without blemish, we say without the flaw to spoil the appearance of Christ in our lives. Blemish means there's a flaw. Without the flaw of spoiling to the world. And this idea, this thought came up to me this morning and I just feel that I have to say to everybody is, do not be the stumbling block in other people's lives to get them to know Christ. If you are a stumbling block in other people's lives, prohibiting them to know the true Christ because of your way of life, get before God, get on your knees and repent. Verse 16 says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. We have a responsibility. Working out training is a continuous process in our lives. We cannot just sit and expect things to happen in our lives. But the labor Paul put into the Philippian church to make sure that they have a foundation of Christ in their lives, the example that Christ set before them, living out, walking worthy of the gospel, remains their responsibility now to continue with this. Because otherwise Paul says that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. None of us wants to do something and we do not see a great outcome. We do not invest in people. We do not invest in the time with them. And then we don't see that. We see this outcome of rejection, rejecting the church, rejecting it. You know, my heart becomes so sad the moment that I spend time with people and we have this conversation, we have this thing that we go through, we get them to Christ, we lead them to Christ, and a couple of months later, there's nothing. And then I'm like, Lord, where did I go wrong? What did I do? But God sometimes shows me, He says, listen, we each have a responsibility to remember those and to which we've held the word forth to. So when we think about this, it's a continuous process. And the Philippi church, Paul put the labor in as he did with all the other churches. And if they suddenly stop believing, you know, it becomes vain. But this merely basically just proves they weren't genuine believers. So sometimes we need to really bring that person before God and say, Lord, just open up his heart. Open his heart like a Lydia so that he can receive the realness and the rawness of you. If I believe in Christ and I set that example of Christ's humiliation in my life, being a servant, considering others more significant than myself, emptying myself, humbling myself to them, humiliating me for the sake of Christ, people will see the true and the real God. They will experience it because we are created in His image. Am I right? But the Greek word for holding fast is epecho. E-P-E-C-H-O. And the construction of that word basically says to me, and I did not read this in the commentaries, but it's my conclusion says that epecho, if I take the shorter version of that echo, it means to give out, to let the word that God gave in me echo unto other people. The word that I believe echo into others. Holding forth the word of life. God's word is true, just, and righteous. The word of life is Jesus Christ. It's not Paul's words. It's not David's word. It's not John, Matthew, Peter, Luke. None of them. It's not their words. It's God's word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was life, and the word became life. Are you with me? You see, faith was placed in our heart, and I choose to believe that. Each one of us has the same choice to make about what and how you believe. And if you believe to hold on to the word and hold out the word for others to experience, that brings me to the third point of being a light in the world. Holding forth the word of life, echoing to others the word of God, being genuine believers. Because if we echo, we replicate it. It replicates what we are and how we what we believe. If you shout into a mountain, you do not get different words back. It fades at some stage, but that's the thing. That's the key. We need to be connected to the light source of Christ in order to continue that echo, so that the next person who receives it on the other end can also continue with the echo. And then that echo won't fade, because we'll be shouting the same word all the time as children of God. Remembering the person who introduced you to Christ and continuing your faith journey so that our labor or his labor was not in vain. Remember the first time that somebody led you to Christ or you came to Christ. Who was with you? Who was around you? That person was a conduit in your life. He illustrated something about Christ which has drawn you into that and made you believe. And then the last verse, I'm going to finish up. It says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also be glad and rejoice with me. In the Old Testament and the Greco-Roman culture, this type of offering involved a pouring out either onto the ground or, in this case, onto an altar with meat. Together with meat or a grain. But Paul is exhorting to the Philippian church, and he says to them, you know, even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering to your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. Likewise, do the same as I do. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. If I am poured out as a drink offering for the sake of Christ, I need to be glad and rejoice about it, because it's a gift. It's a gift. He writes to the Philippians to emulate his life. To emulate what he did, how he poured out his life for the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is not a piece of land that we see. But wherever we go, it says that the kingdom of God is at hand. Stretch out your hand like this. There's the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. Not the piece of property around me. But those who extend their hand, the kingdom of God is at hand. When we hold forth the word, we hold forth the kingdom of God into other people's lives. When we hold forth us as children of Christ, we show them we hold forth the kingdom of God. And if your hand doesn't extend, you're not working out. You will remain in an uncomfortable position. Sorry, Thais. I have to do this morning. It will remain in your pockets. But you see, if my hands extend, I'm extending the kingdom of God. No light can shine without any energy source. We can shine with the power of self, which will only last so long. Or we can choose to shine with the power of Jesus Christ, the radiant light that upholds the universe by the power of his word. The word of God, which we keep in our hearts. Shine forth in obedience, training continuously, working out your own salvation with God who works in you. You're not doing this alone. You're working on a relationship with Christ, which means he's on the other side. He's with you. Through his spirit, he's dwelling in you. Without grumbling or dispute, as a child of God in the midst of a crooked and twisted world, holding forth, echoing the word of life and rejoicing in those who come to faith in Christ. Pouring yourself sometimes out as a drink offering. You know, following the example of Christ to pouring yourself out as a sacrificial offering for the glory of Jesus Christ. And the fourth point is, and the one I want to end off with, is joyful service to God. Joyful service to God, to Christ, doesn't mean sitting, keeping your hands in your pockets. It means being out there in the world, rejoicing, celebrating the life that Christ has given you, extending the kingdom of God, which is at hand. We need to work out, we need to be switched on. We need to be living as children of God. Experiencing, showing people what it means to be a child in the Father's house. Holding forth the word of life. Echoing what we believe to others. Not our belief in ourselves, but the word of God. Echoing the word of God, the word of life to other people. And pouring ourselves out as a sacrificial offering in the joyful service of God. Sometimes taking the heat, taking the hit for what the world tries to do to us. Silencing us, placing us under bondage and arrest because it's a free country. I'm not allowed to do this. You cannot speak about Christianity. Why are people so worried about Christianity? It just brings forth the good within people. It brings forth the choices that God generates, the desires in our heart. It brings that forth. Why are people scared of Christians? Because we make them scared of Christians. Because of the way we live. Because of the way we self-salvation ourselves to others. Because we justify the things in our lives. Instead of saying, Lord, your word is true and faithful. I do not alter it, but I bring you the true word of life. Auntie Doris, you guys can hand out the communion for me as well. See, Christ was a light here on earth. He lived in obedience with the will of the Father. He worked out continuously in prayer and supplication to the Father. He did so without grumbling or dispute, holding out to us the word of life himself as a living sacrifice to the glory of God the Father and to save you and me today. So it's our responsibility to shine forth as lights because of what Christ did in our lives, not because of us. In the beginning, I said you have to make a choice this morning. You have to make a choice to allow this to become, to remain information, or to bring forth transformation in your life. You see, and when we take communion today, we say, Lord, I identify with you. Lord Jesus, you lay down your life for me. your life, which was an offer, a sacrifice, so that we can be saved. And Jesus says in his word, he says, so break this bread and eat it, take it in remembrance of what I've done on the cross for you. So as we break the bread this morning, we say, Lord, we identify with you. We identify with your body being shattered, being broken on the cross. We identify with you being obedient even to the point of death. And we take that this morning, and we eat, and we remember. It says to live as children of God is to be blameless and innocent. There's much blame on us. There's no innocence in us. But as children of God, Christ comes and he says that my blood will wash you clean. And this morning we identify with that. We say, Lord, I've taken you into my life, and because of that, I can be blameless, flawless, and innocent before the Father. So when we take and we drink, we bring into remembrance that he washed us clean. So let's drink it. Ronaldo, if any other band can just quickly put some music on for me. There's some background noise. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let me say, Father, thank you this morning that we can celebrate your life. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can live as lights in the world. Thank you that you've given us this opportunity to be plugged into the radiant glory that upholds the universe by the word of his power. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we do not have to shy away or hide in the bushes with our fig leaves, Lord Jesus, but we can come to you blameless and innocent because of what you've done on the cross for us. Thank you for giving us new life. Thank you for setting an example before us, Lord, this morning. An example that brings forth the goodness in us, the desires of doing good and living a good life, Lord God, but not just our choices, but our choices that we make to bring it forth to action. Lord, we declare this morning we are nothing without you. In you and through you, Lord, we have eternal life. We have access to the Father. And it's my heart this morning, Lord Jesus, that we will not be shy of that. We will not be ashamed by that. But because of the radiant light of your Spirit in us and through us, Lord Jesus, we can be bold enough to shine out into the world. We do not have to rely on a figure of 1 to 16, Lord, but we can rely on a figure of endless amount of power, endless light that shines forth. Lord, allow us to be bold enough that when we step out here, Lord God, that we will hold forth the word of life. We will hold forth the message of Jesus Christ to those around us. Lord, we need to be obedient in our calling to you. And I want to step out in faith this morning and say that if you do not know what the calling and the will of God in your life is, if you are sitting here this morning and you do not know what the will of God in your life is, I want to ask you to stand up. This is not a name and shame game, but it's a thing in your life, in your heart, to say, Lord, I'm truthful about this. I do not know. Are we going to trust God this morning that He reveals something in your life to you? So if you do not know the will of God in your life, I want you to stand up. Do not be shy about it. Do not be shy about it. God has a special place and a special thing that He wants each one of us to do. But if you just hold it to yourself, and if you're scared to let other people see that because you think what are they going to think about you? Remember that we are lights in the world today. We are not shining just on you. But the choice remains with you. How are you holding forth the word of life to those around you? And if any of these areas that I called out this morning that you are not doing, you are struggling with, working out, being plugged in, living as a child of God, holding forth the word of life, being in joyful service to God, if there's any shadow that falls on this area, I want you to stand up this morning and say, Lord, just empower me from within. Let your light shine forth from me into the world, Lord God, not to them, not on them, but to them, in between them. If you feel that your light is not sufficient this morning, God says, ask and I will give to you. Let us come two or three together and agree with that. This is not a place of shame and shine. Shine that you're going to be put on a pedestal. We're going to choose you for full-time ministry. You are a full-time minister in the place that you work. You've got an opportunity to influence there. I want to bless you. I want to say to you, you know what? God loves you. God loves you unconditionally. Just allow God to bring you that peace and comfort. So Lord, we honor you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.